Happy New Year. It's that time of year again, but it's never that time of year again. It's always time to stay organized and have a plan. And this next episode shows you how to do it. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Jake and Gino podcast, with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, the Christmas G-Daddy. Gino Barber, Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I got this podcast just for you. This is my Christmas present to Jake Stenziano. And once you learn about the guest, you're going to know why, everybody.
Oh, man. Warming my heart. Thank you very much, sir. So as Gino alluded to, we have a very special guest today. Today's guest is a speaker, consultant, and a coach with over 40 years of experience who Fast Company labeled the personal productivity guru and Forbes named one of the top five executive coaches. So we're going to get some knowledge today. He is also the father of GTD. Gino, do you know what that is?
Getting things done, my friend, the methodology. Yeah.
You know, I thought they called it Jim Tan and laundry back in the day, but this is way more productive. So this has empowered millions around the world. So without further ado, David Allen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jake and Gino. Happy to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
It's our pleasure. And please share with us a little bit about your background and ultimately how you got into business.
Well, you got about 2 years.
We need the shortened version to get to know each other a little bit better here.
And I started my own little consulting practice back in 1982. Was
the year I was born. That's a great year.
I was interested in my own personal productivity. I had a black belt in the martial arts, a lot of spiritual practices, meditation practices, and I was a history major in UC Berkeley in graduate school in '68. So come on.
Does that make you a Jedi, basically everything you just said?
I don't know. I guess. Anyway, so I got into this game because I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to do. I helped a lot of other guys that I knew in my network with their own businesses. I was a good number two guy. I'd come in and look at what they were doing and go, how much easier can we do this? Because I want to leave earlier. So I'm Mr. Lazy and Mr. Efficient. And so I'd fix their, now they call it process improvement. So I would just improve the process and then get bored and I'd go find another gig. Well, it turned out that they actually pay people to do that. They call them something, consultant. Oh my God, you know, couldn't spell it. Now I are one. So I hung out my own shingle, Allen Associates, but I also, you know, like to stay clear and still focused and not be distracted by all kinds of stuff, just given my history and my inclinations. So I started finding techniques for myself that allowed me to surf on top of my game instead of be buried by it or feel overwhelmed or distracted by it. And I just found technique after technique after technique. I didn't wake up one morning with this big epiphany. It's a long string of about a decade of epiphanets that I kind of strung together. At a certain point, you know, it all worked. It worked for me. It turned around for my consulting clients. You know, I implemented this with them and it helped them have more clarity, more control, more space, more room to think about the meaningful stuff. I went, well, that's cool. Looks like I got a sort of a core element to what I'm going to, you know, coach or consult about. Then some big guy in the corporate training world saw what I was doing, head of HR at a big corporation. He said, David, we need that result in our whole company. Can you design some sort of training program around what you've done? I said, well, I'll do my best. So I designed a pilot program for Lockheed in 1983-84, we did a pilot program for 1,000 executive managers with what I came up with, and it hit a nerve. It's like, bam, nothing ever had been that good that they had experienced. So I suddenly found myself thrust into the corporate training world, and a lot of what my consulting turned into coaching for senior people that ran across what I did and said, David, come to my desk and help me implement what you teach. And so I've spent literally, you know, Malcolm Gladwell says 10,000 hours. I probably spent 50,000 hours real time, one-on-one with some of the busiest and brightest people you'd ever meet on the planet, actually implementing what I'd come up with, creating great results, as well as training hundreds of thousands of people now in the corporate training world that me and my, you know, as I grew a small staff that we started to just train people with this stuff. So there's a short version of a very long story
David, what do you see, before I get into the methodology and the mastering the workflow, what do you see a lot of these executives doing wrong that you're teaching them to actually do right and to recapture a lot of that time?
They're using their head as their office. Your head's a crappy office. They're trying to remember, remind, prioritize, manage relationships between, you know, multiple things. And the cognitive scientists have now proven anything more than four, you're going to be less optimal in terms of how you think, how you plan, how you strategize, how you have access to your intuitive strategic awareness. Mm-hmm. You know, people are keeping their head, keeping stuff in their heads. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And I just discovered, you know, years ago that was, that it helped me. See, I've never had any, you know, I'll apologize, guys. I've never had any formal or traditional education in time management, you know, personal productivity, business or psychology. This is all street smart. Like, what works so that you can stay really clear when you're feeling, when you got too much to do than you have time to do, you got so many things to do that you can't remember exactly what they all are. You just hope that the one you're picking is the right one. Mm-hmm. And that's this ambient anxiety that lurks with the majority of the professionals, probably that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Can you define for me and for the listeners, how would you define the word productivity? I mean, what does that really come down to you? The word, that simple. Word productivity.
Yeah, simple. Produce, you know, achieve some outcome you want to achieve. That could be some physical result. It could be some personal experience. You go to a party to boogie and you don't boogie, it's an unproductive party.
But do you think when you're looking at productivity, would you classify it as something that you want to, you yourself want to achieve that's something
no,
that's
no
in
no
your
no
sphere.
no everybody is being productive. They've produced exactly what they have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When they say I want to be productive, they want to say I want to be more productive. What would that mean? That means I'm getting done what I'm getting done with less effort, or I'm putting in the effort and getting more results. Mm-hmm. Those would be a definition of more productive. Mm-hmm. So when you say productivity, that's simple. Just produce what you want.
Mm-hmm. What is the getting things done methodology?
Keep stuff out of your head. Capture the stuff that has your attention. Decide sooner than later what exactly it means to you, what you're going to do about it, if anything. Once you make those decisions, then organize the results of that thinking in some sort of trusted external system that you then review and reflect on regularly, so that you know when you run for errands, all the errands that you need to run. You know when you need to talk to your partner, what are all the things you need to talk to your partner about? And your brain does not have to try to remember or remind that. It's in your system. And so when you engage from a very trusted place as opposed to a hope this is work place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the methodology.
What's striking to me is it's not that difficult or complicated. I'm just surprised that more people aren't doing it. Is it because we've never been taught this? Or
no, they don't need it. They're not hurting enough.
Mm-hmm.
You guys... Look, some of my biggest clients and best clients are the people who need it the least based upon anybody's assessment. I've coached for a year the probably top entrepreneur in the world in terms of anybody's definition of productivity. And I said, why'd you call me, Brad? And he said, because I'm up to here. I got no more room. I wake up with million-dollar ideas. I don't know where to put them or who to give them to. Oh, my God. How do I get more space to do what I need to do? So the essential things about what I teach and what I bring to people is more room to do what? Well, if they don't need any more room, they're not interested.
Right? I love that. Yep. And the five steps, let's get into the five steps of mastering the workflow.
Well, capture the stuff that has your attention, not in your head, but out of your head. Write it down.
Mm-hmm. You know? That's number one, everybody, capture.
Yeah. What's got your attention about your business, about your life, about anything? Oh, we need tires on our car. Should we adopt? I need to hire a vice president. Oh, my God. You know, my tooth hurts. I think I probably need to get it fixed. And for most people, it would take at least an hour, if not more, just to capture, just to identify all the stuff that's yanking their chain internally, psychologically. So that's the first step, is just get it out of their head. Now, a lot of people have a sort of a to-do list. You guys have any to-do lists?
I got lists all over the place.
I want to stay with this for a second, because I think the single best thing I've done for myself as an entrepreneur is I spend somewhere in the ballpark of 2 to 3 hours getting the stuff out, to your point, and then also planning my week. Now, we have Google Calendar and we have all this stuff, but I literally go through this exercise where I write it down in terms of my time blocking for the week. And I think it does something to my subconscious, but it also gets things teed up. It's a lot of work. It literally is a 2 to 3 hour commitment every Sunday. And maybe it's wasteful, and maybe I'm stupid for doing it. But I truly believe that's been the best practice that I've done as an entrepreneur to get shit done. Ultimately.
Sure. But you could probably take it to another level.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
But if you're going directly from your dump out of your head to your calendar, I'd say you're missing a couple of key steps.
Calendar, or I use cardstock, and I
don't care what you're using. Yeah. If you're making decisions about what to do before you think through it, say, what exactly is that? And what's the very next action I would need to take to move on that? And if one action won't finish it, what's the project I'm committed to?
Would that be our quarterly planning meetings?
No, that's a daily. That's a at the moment. You know, before the end of the day, you take all the notes you wrote and say, what the fuck is this? What am I going to do about this?
Yeah.
Is
I think
there a
that's my Sunday. I think that's my Sunday, though. I kind of look at it.
No, you're way ahead of the planet. Believe me, that you even do what you just said you did. I'm just saying that could be taken to a much more elegant level.
So you've
describe the elegance, because like for me, there'll be things like shit comes up. You know, I have this old pickup truck, right? And the exhaust needed to be replaced. So I found a time that was reasonable in the week, put it down and just did it. Like it had the time there. That was the process of getting that completed.
When you say did it, did you personally fix it?
No, hell no. I wouldn't do that.
So just what did you from do like, first?
I wrote it down and I fucking did it. I went, I took it and I had the guy do it, and he was done in 45 minutes.
You had the guy do it.
Yeah.
How'd you find out if he could do it then?
So the first time, this was a 3 week process. So I went to the place that I thought was going to be able to do it. They said no and recommended this other guy. So that was step one. And then, so it got re-time blocked. And then the second time block, it connected and they knocked it out in 45 minutes, did a fantastic job, and were actually much cheaper than I was expecting. So it worked out.
But you had to remember to take it to the first guy to begin with, right?
No, I didn't, because Sunday came, and that's the inflection point. And so here's the thing. When I realized there was an issue and went on the back of the cardstock, right? There's a box for shit that needs to be done. So it's captured. That's the process. And then Sunday, that component of the cardstock gets reviewed, and then it gets scheduled. It's just a constant loop.
That's fine.
Yeah.
As long as you don't break your own agreements with yourself on your calendar.
No, I'm disciplined AF. All right. So this shit does not get broken.
Yeah. Well, you're a rare bird on the planet.
So then what happens if Jake is not the rare bird and Jake's like always, you know, breaking his own promises to himself? What is that listener, the person that does that?
Well, what you need is the things go on your calendar are things that you can't do any other day or time. Because when I, you know, at night, I'm looking at what's the hard landscape I have for the next day. I like to sleep as long as I can. So I need the hard landscape. And then I got dozens of things I could do if I have time. But I don't make that decision then. I make that decision when I wake up, when I look at, okay, I got this podcast I got to do with these guys, Jake and Gino, whoever the hell they are, you know, da 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 da. So I have to manage my life around my hard commitments. But managing my life around those is very free to me. I don't make any commitments about that. Time blocking, yeah, it's fine. If you got some deadline that you got to meet, you know, for sure.
I just don't want to think, though, because I just don't, to your bandwidth point. That's why I just follow the Yellow Brick Road. I create the day on Sunday that I want to happen.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I just follow it. And then I look. Yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. If it doesn't change.
So David, cool. You've got capture number one. Number two is to clarify, correct?
Yeah. Is it an actionable item that I wrote down? Is it trash? Is it reference material? Is it something I might want to do later, but not now? Because those are the three non-actionable things that have your attention. And then if it is actionable, there's something I need to do about it. Then the question is, what's the next action? The very next thing, if you had nothing else to do but finish that thing, move the needle on it, where would you go? What would you do? Email to send, phone call to make, conversation to have with my partner, you know, go to the store and buy whatever it is, whatever's the next action. And then will that one action finish it? If not, then you got a project. See, if I were you, Jake, I would have had a project called Fix the Muffler, fix whatever that exhaust thing is, from the very first time that I showed up, I needed it. Yeah. So that I could then keep as a reminder somewhere that kept me on a weekly basis on your Sunday review. You go, oh, how am I doing about muffler? Or how am I doing about exhaust? But see, you'd have to remember that in your head. That wasn't in your system.
And right? I would have never remembered it and would not have got done. That's why it has to go on the cardstock or it gets lost. So
yeah. Well, you understand there's outcome and action.
Yeah.
The outcome is the thing is fixed and fixed well.
Yeah.
Right? Action is you just drive over and see if they can do it. Got it. That's fine. That's all you need. But you need the outcome. See, if they fix it, but it's not fixed, then you can't mark that project off as done.
This is where I want to go, because I think many of the people that are in our multifamily investing community that are attempting to buy apartments, the place where they get tripped up is getting the first deal done. Once they've figured it out and they've seen the result one time, they can duplicate it. But it's getting the first deal done many times that people struggle with. And the component that's holding them up is sometimes making the calls. This is where it gets a little abstract, making the calls to the brokers, the sales reps, and then actually getting the deal to be, you know, under contract and purchased. The hard thing that I think many of these folks struggle with, they may be engineer types and whatnot, is the actual interactions with the brokers and enough of them to actually get the result. And that's where they get lost in this sort of open space where nothing gets done. That right there is the biggest pain point.
Sure.
Any advice for folks living in that zone?
Yes. You need to say when is done.
Yeah.
And identify that. And then weekly say, what do I still need to do to be able to check that off as done? And that's the problem, is those hanging out weird little crap, you know, between the, well, they signed the contract, but this thing is not done yet.
Yeah.
This thing is not on cruise control yet. When do you get this totally off your mind? That's the key element of getting things done.
I think it's even before that, though. It's the weird interactions that don't lead to anything. So it's, you got to make X amount of broker calls and look at X amount of properties to get to that point of a signed contract. It's that void right there. It's that weird space that so many people die in, I feel like.
Well, sure. If you've got a checklist,
yeah,
you know, you should be looking at that checklist, say, well, great, what's my next action on this right now?
Yeah.
Who do I need to call? What do I need to do? They haven't defined a specific action they need to take about those open loops that they've got about that getting a contract or getting the sale or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's, by the way, Jake, a huge part of the sophistication of my methodology is defining both outcome as well as action. Because outcome defined then starts to make sure that thing is what drives you toward completion, as opposed to having this thing keep spinning like a monkey in your head because it ain't done yet.
And then when it keeps spinning, it becomes pain and maybe they just walk away from it.
It's ambient anxiety. They can't, they can walk away consciously, but they can't walk away unconsciously. It'll wake them up at 3 o'clock and I'm going to call, oh shit, I should. Mm-hmm. What happened or what's up?
Yeah.
So all you have to do, by the way, anybody just to implement my stuff, you just have to notice what's got your attention. Anything on your mind. See, if it's on your mind, you're not appropriately engaged with it yet. If cat food is on your mind, you're not appropriately engaged with your cat. Mm-hmm. Right? So either of you guys, either while you're talking to me or when you get off talking to me, have anything on your mind. If you want to implement my stuff, you say, well, wait a minute, what exactly is that? Why do I still have attention on that? What would I need to do about that, if anything? What's the outcome I'm desiring? What's the next action requiring? See, that's the real elegance of this methodology, is not just the specific little things about your little business deals, et cetera. I'm talking about your life. If you want a clear head so that you have the freedom to think intuitively about what's on your lists, you need to make sure your lists are complete. See, most people have some sort of to-do list and some people have,
because the opposite is torture is what you're saying. You don't have a free and clear mind when these things are pinging you.
It's
right?
It's not, It's not torture. If it was, you'd handle it. It's ambient anxiety, this vague sense.
Yeah.
It's something probably ought to be happening that I'm not sure exactly what it ought to be happening, but it's probably, maybe it's better than what I'm doing, but I'm just going to go avoid my life by playing solitaire. God knows.
I've got a lot of questions. This next question, I don't know if you can answer this one, but do you ever get, you ever coach your entrepreneurs or anyone that you consult with about the things on their list? Should they be doing them? I mean, is that, you put something on the list just because you have it on a to-do list, should you follow that? That's important because you have ambient energy on something you're saying, I want to be more productive. That was my productivity question. Should you even be productive on something that you shouldn't even be doing? And how do you even judge that for yourself, saying this is something I should do? Like the muffler thing with Jake. Let's say Jake wants, why even do the muffler? Just get rid of the car. Maybe he's doing the wrong, maybe it's unproductive to do what he's doing productive.
Sure. Well, that's where the getting things done methodology. And years ago, 40 years ago, when I started to do this, people say, how do I set priorities? I said, well, let me think about that. How do you now set priorities? And so all I could do was come up with the six horizons that we actually have commitments with ourselves. The top one is, why are you on the planet? And what really, really matters to you? That's the top, what I call horizon five. Horizon four would be, what's your vision of doing that successfully? Oh, I'm going to be make $1 billion. I'm going to look like this. This is what my business is going to be. That's vision. Horizon four. Horizon three would be, okay, so what are you committed to finish over the next year or two? It's going to get your vision. Oh, I'm going to set up these kinds of things. I'm going to hire this kind of person. I'm going to make sure we have whatever. That's goals and objectives. That's horizon three. Horizon two would be, and great, what are all the things you need to maintain to make sure you get there? Your health and vitality, your technology, your relationships, your fun factor, you know, what are all the things you need to manage daily? You don't finish those. You know, you just need to make sure they're okay, you know, to get you kind of where you want to go. Sales, customer service. I mean, in a business standpoint, you know, it's your org chart. You know, how are our finances? How's customer service? How's sales? How's efficiency in the organization? How's technology? And, you know, yada, yada. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we're committed to maintain at some level. Some of them are on cruise control, but some of them aren't. And then you go come down and say, well, okay, what are the things you need to finish about any of those? Oh God, we need to hire this person. Great. We need to research whether we want to set up this new app. You know, it's going to help us do this. We need to, I don't know. And most people have 30 to 100 projects. And then all the action steps you need to take about all the moving parts about what I just said. Most people have 150 to 200. So if you
want
to know.
That's my pain point, honestly, is that things take longer and more attention and time than they should in my mind. And I've personally struggled with that.
Why is it pain?
Because I want, you know, it's probably some kind of weird chemical imbalance that I haven't discovered yet. So when I say the word pain, it's maybe frustration is a better word. So
why?
I get into something because I want it done quicker because I want to be onto the next thing. That's kind of how I'm wired. Don't know why.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
You just need to make sure you can see all of your commitments and say that one, not anything else. But you can't see all your commitments until you have them all identified, until you've captured, clarified, and organized them all in some sort of trusted external system. You're going to still be driven by latest and loudest and not feel really good about that.
It's
sorry,
a,
you guys wanted the real truth about this stuff. That's it.
No, it's a lack of honesty with myself because we'll set these quarterly priorities and there'll be like three or four of them. I say, hey, we're going to protect the plan and until we get these things done. But then there's these micro priorities that pop up that may not be over 8 hours, but maybe they are, and I didn't realize it. And then I'm frustrated with myself because you wanted more done. How would you
fix that, Jake?
Yeah, I'd be more honest with myself.
No.
What
would your desired outcome be about this situation?
I don't know that I want it any different. I guess the desired outcome would be that. So because here's the thing. I enjoy growth. I enjoy expanding the company. And I don't know that we're actually getting that. I think I might just be lying to myself a little bit about the actual goals and priorities that they're less than what they actually are. I think there may be a little bit of BSing myself there.
Well, no, you don't have to BS yourself. You just need
I'm currently BSing myself. Yeah.
You just need to get more subtle about how you define your outcome. I would like to feel comfortable. Here's my project, feeling comfortable about how we're setting our quarterly or annual goals, et cetera. And that we have a process of recalibrating those appropriately so we're all comfortable with how we're moving, marching forward shoulder to shoulder. How about that?
That's reasonable. I want to share.
Well, if that's a project, then what's your next action?
I want to share a story with you and David right now, because I think it's important for Jake to hear this, because I'm going to give him a little coaching tip here. When I was a little kid, about 5 years old, I was with my grandma. And I remember going to the store with her. And I asked grandma, can I buy these toy soldiers? And I remember grandma saying to me, Gino, we don't have the money right now. When we leave, we come back, mom comes, we'll buy them. And I remember that to this day. And like, I didn't get those soldiers and I felt tortured that it was there and I couldn't buy it. And that's, I don't want to say haunted me, but I've had this epiphany over the last couple of years that when something comes on my plate, I need to get it done right away, or it may go away and I may never be able to get that. So I linked that with that story so that when that happens, and my wife sometimes will tell me, hey, Gino, we can wait a few minutes to do something. Like, I had this soundboard here and I got to bring it to the office. And I'm like, I got to bring it now. And I catch myself and I realize it. So go back in time and
don't
see
you start blaming granny. All right,
I'm not blaming
don't
granny.
You blame grandma.
I felt so bad. Italian lady, Gino, non lo possiamo tesoro, non lo possiamo comprare. Oh, just bad. And I, to this day, I think back on that and it was really, and so now when something like that happens to me, somebody sends me an email, I got to respond right away. It's not that I don't, I just realize and understand where that energy, that emotion comes from. So maybe, Brosif, you got to look into your childhood and say, why am I acting this way? Why am I so frustrated? So when it does come up, you're like, okay, I understand why it's coming up. Let me deal with that emotion. There's not many people in the world that are like me to get things done. I can slow down a little bit. It doesn't have to happen today. It's going to happen. And that's my tip to you, Jake.
Man, he's got Dr. Phil here for us, Bill.
Dude, it was just a weird thing. And I just sat there and I'm like, man, I feel bad for my grandma, but it will always haunt me. Did I get those soldiers? I don't even remember if we went back to the store to get them. That's how traumatized I was from it. But I mean, to this day, it's like every time something happens, I need to get it done. And that's why people
I know,
like,
what to get you for Christmas next year.
Dude, man. Han Solo, you got to get the Millennium Falcon. That's what you got to get for me, bro. Forget toy soldiers. You got to go one step up for me.
Any comments on Gino's childhood tragedy?
You know, I imagine he wasn't at an age where he could have a someday maybe list.
I was too young. I was 5 years old, so I didn't think about it. But it's just one of those things that really, really haunts me in the subconscious. I'm like, wow, it's one of those things.
I don't try to deal at all with the emotional aspects of this stuff or any of that. I just deal with what's true, what's now, where are you going, what's next, how do you manage that, and then you'll deal with your own emotional stuff that may show up in the process. But that's not my job.
But
my job is to give you the coaching about what you need to decide, you know, and then where you need to park that so it gets out of your head and you feel more clear about it. That's all. I figured that out.
Yeah, but you're helping people to decide what's important for them as well. So you sort of are doing part of the emotional.
Well, like, guys, if you guys made a list of every single more than one step thing that you're committed to finish within the next year, that's called a project list. I guarantee you would not have these questions. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you what to do. You'll know what to do. You're just so, you know, clogged up in your head with all that stuff. But there's no way you could think, even if you made some sort of decision right now, it wouldn't be right. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be the optimal one. I guarantee you, as many CEOs as I've coached and senior people that I've coached, that once they got a complete project list and that could have 40, 50, 60 things on it, they all know what their priorities are for the next 3 weeks.
So, mm-hmm. So talk about and that for a second, because there's multiple paths to get the result. And you also help people optimize the path, because I've seen this in our business that sometimes I back off of, I say, hey, well, this may be the direction I think we should go, but a team member has another direction that ultimately gets us there and maybe about the same amount of time. So kind of let them run with it and own it. I think that's an interesting sort of dichotomy that's been, you know, happening to ourselves recently.
Up to you in terms of your relationship with that person. How much you want it to be a learning experience for them, how much it is that you decide you need to make that final decision. You'll take their options under consideration.
Yeah.
But that's up to your org chart.
Yeah.
Jake, before we go to the personal development questions, I just want to recap those five steps. Number one was to capture. Number two is to clarify. The third one, everyone, was to organize. The fourth one was to reflect. And the fifth one is to engage.
Yeah. That's how you get your kitchen under control when you show up at night. And the hurricanes did it. We got people coming over for dinner. You notice what's off. That's capture. You decide what is off and what does it mean. That dirty dish, that spice, that bad dish, that good food, whatever. Then you organize, put the spices where spices go, throw the bad food away, put dirty dishes in the dishwasher. And then you reflect. Let me see, what time is it? Oh my God, where's the recipe? When are they coming? And then you go to the fridge and pull out butter. So this is how you get your kitchen under control, how you get your consciousness under control, how you get your company under control. I didn't make it up. I just recognized it. Mm-hmm.
Identify the path. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Are you looking for ways to improve your life?
Here at Jake and Gino, our mission is to empower students through financial education and the vehicle of multifamily investing.
Yes, Jake. We agree that a person with financial intelligence can change the world for the better.
We've created our proprietary three-step framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right, that we teach to our community. This framework, along with education, our one-on-one mentorship, on-site boot camps, and the amazing community, has propelled our students to massive success.
We've all been there. We've had so many students that have been able to shift their mindset, overcome limiting beliefs, and set a clear path to achieve their goals. Whether you're currently fixing and flipping, wholesaling, or buying single-family rentals, and you know that multifamily investing is the right vehicle for you, I encourage you to visit jakeandgino.com/apply to schedule your complimentary consultation with our team. And I want to let you know, this isn't a high pressure sales call. It's really just a discovery call to get to know each other better and see if we're a good fit for working together. And if for any reason we're not a good fit, our team has tons of resources we will share with you to help you along your journey.
If you're ready to stop spinning your wheels, go to jakeandgino.com/apply and schedule your call now.
All right, we are back. You were alluding to the system before. Is there a software that you have, or a something further that you take this and put people in to help process this information?
Basically, they just need a list manager.
Yeah.
And whatever works for them, any kind of a list manager. It could be a paper-based planner I used for 20, 25 years. It could be, you know, right now we're using, I'm using, you know, to-dos in Office 365.
Okay.
They're just list managers. Anything that makes lists, you just need something that makes multiple lists, because you don't want just one. I need a list for errands. I need a list for things to talk to my wife about. I need a list for things that creative writing that I've committed to do. I need a list for websites to serve. So I'm sort of subcategorized by action that I need to take. But I need separate lists for those, because when I go out for errands, I don't need to look at the rest. You know, when I talk to my wife, I don't need to look at the rest. When I'm not at home, I don't need to look at my at-home action. So you just need a list manager. And there are over, last count, and this is probably 3 or 4 years ago, there were over 300 apps built on the Getting Things Done GTD model. Not mine. Just people like, oh, this is cool, let me make this. Yeah. And they just have different bells and whistles they put on it. Even Microsoft, they've been a client of mine for years, and you know, they've started to integrate a lot of their stuff into Office 365, so these things are tied together, and that's cool. They're doing good work that way, but it's still a little overcomplicated. You need something simple. God, there's nothing better than the Palm Pilot years ago. You guys are not old enough to remember that.
I had one. I had the Trio. Yeah.
Did you learn to do the script?
You know, I couldn't get there. I was stuck with the pen and paper. It was just a flashy thing.
Yeah. So again, all you need is just a good, simple list manager. So yeah. Any of those work.
Please share with us a little bit about your cadence with the list and how you manage your day-to-day.
Well, the key is a weekly review, which we found over the years is at least once a week, you need to sort of recalibrate and bring up the rear guard and get all your lists current again. Because, you know, things come at us faster than we can keep them organized or think them mm-hmm. through. We just need to not let that go too long. And so once a week, I just did mine. I just go through all my to-dos and go, oh, that one's done already. Check it off. Oh, yeah. And that reminds me, there's another thing I need to do. So oftentimes that review will trigger things, much like your Sunday, Jake, your Sunday 2 hours. You know, that's what I do. It's something like that. Though I have probably a more complete inventory of stuff to review than you might for that. And also, I plan as little as I can get by with. So So I'm much unlike you, but you've got a lifestyle, obviously, that works for you. Wouldn't work for me. I don't like it. I'm a freedom junkie. I love to follow my intuitive hunches and do what I feel like doing when I feel like doing it. Right. So I prize a female when I feel like doing it. I do the things on my list when I feel like doing them, except what's on my calendar. And that's hard landscape. Those are committed appointments, committed things to do that have to happen on that day. Those are on my calendar, but that's nothing else is on my calendar. I don't time block unless and rarely, but again, that's my lifestyle now. Rarely might I have a deadline that I haven't been managing appropriately all the way, you know, in terms of what I need to be doing. And I only have I need to spend two or three more uninterrupted hours before this thing is due on Friday. Then I might time block.
But it's essentially an appointment, though, to get the work done.
Yeah, but I'll keep that with myself. But you probably see about three of those in my last year.
How many hours per week do you have scheduled meetings now, would you say? So is your day, are you like a four-hour work week kind of guy now, or is it, 4 hours a day?
I don't stop working.
Yeah.
I work all the time. That's work. Work is getting stuff done. Taking a nap is work. I don't make any distinction between personal. I just like, here's just what's next.
Yeah.
I need to get low with the whole inventory. Now here's what's next.
Yeah.
So work could look like walking the dogs, could be like, making dinner with my wife. It could be, going to the wine store. All those are work. So I don't make any distinctions like that. I understand that people might want to, but boy, now with the pandemic and people having to live at home, by the way, salespeople and consultants have never had an issue with not working in an office. That it's just everybody else now that had to now work from home or had to sort of unhook from some sort of traditional, regular schedule, context that they could go to, that they could trust would sort of tell them what to do. Now they got to figure that out themselves. But I've never made a distinction in the last 50 years between personal and professional. What next?
I think your schedule is definitely more fluid and offers a lot more freedom and is probably, if I'm being honest with myself, more guilt-free. Because if after this podcast, if you wanted to take a nap, you'd probably be fine with it, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't see myself doing that.
After this podcast, I have to check what's on my calendar.
Yeah.
How am I doing? What else might have my attention right now that it'd be nice to get closure on? Nah, nap.
But if there's not a scheduled meeting, kick the feet up and just take the nap. Yeah.
Maybe. Whatever I feel like doing. I might feel like doing. My wife just walked in and said, we got guests coming over tonight. Hey, David, you got, half an hour. Could you vacuum the apartment? I go, sure.
So maybe I did. Call up the cleaners.
No.
I'm just kidding.
We have a Dyson vacuum cleaner. That's
just fine. Elegant. Yeah.
David and Jake, the irony of what you're saying? Most people would say that is so much work and I don't feel free. But the reality is when you do break it down, you're creating so much more freedom for yourself and not being able to think and put on autopilot. I think it's just a habit for people to get into. And once you're able to understand that the system allows you the freedom, it gives you freedom by being able to not have to think about stuff and have everything planned out. And people in the beginning may think that they're getting trapped and they're actually, this is causing them more time. I just think it's I'm listening to it. I'm going, this makes total sense to me. I'm sure people out there listening on, this is too much work for me. This will never work for me. I'm sure you've heard of that before.
Ask a really good artist how important it is to have their life in order. So it gives them the freedom to be spontaneous and crazy in their work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the war of art right there, Gino. Right.
Yeah. You know, Steven's your friend.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had him on a couple of times. Just put your ass where your heart wants to be. Right.
He's
a good man. So last question for the folks out there. If they're resonating with this, they know they need help.
They need help. People do need help
and they're acknowledging it, right? They're listening. They acknowledge it.
I need help, guys.
We all do. You know,
I need a nap after this movie, right? I have to keep doing my own stuff. David, come on. It's this thing sitting in your inbox. What the hell are you gonna, what's next? What's the next action? I still have to do all this stuff. I'm 77 where I don't get away from this.
Yeah.
I won't until I stop functioning, I guess.
So what's a, for the folks that are struggling and they need to get started, what's a reasonable first step, or what's the first action that they should be looking at here?
Well, there's probably two things. First of all, if you don't mind books, getting things done, you know.
Yeah. Or get it on Amazon?
Productivity. You can get it anywhere.
Anywhere, great.
Anywhere you can get books. I like supporting your local bookstore, so
yeah,
you know, go do that. Or get it wherever you want it. And you can get it on ebook, you can get it on audio, you can get it on paperback, you know, whatever. And that's the manual about all this. But again, it's kind of can make a little daunting. It was my 25 years of professional stuff. I just put in a manual when I got coached to write the book. If you want this snacking on this, go to gettingthingsdone.com/YouTube. And you'll see me and my three TEDx talks and, you know, little 2-minute snippets and little things like that, that you can just snack on this stuff and see if anyone rings your bell. Kind of a nice way to sort of maybe motivate yourself with some versions of all that.
No better time of year. Gino, are you ready to recap this baby?
I'm going to. This David's had an extensive career back in the 1980s. He started out by helping others and they said, I like this. And then he started this consulting company. And Jake, would you call David a guru? I would say he's a guru. Right?
Absolutely.
A guru. Absolutely. That's been doing it for over 40 years. I'm going to hold the book up right now, Getting Things Done. I think this is an excellent gift for the new year. If there's anything that you're going to want to do for the new year, is just to become more productive about the things that you want to accomplish, how to break them down. Those five steps are really, if you start working on, whether you capture them, number two is to clarify, then organize, then reflect, and then engage. That should be every action that you take. Start getting things out of your head and onto paper. And I like his catalyzing statement. I'll end with it. No problems, only projects. I love that statement.
Ooh, very true. Very true. David, thank you so much for your time today. Just a wealth of knowledge and, you know, so appropriate for the new year. And I hope this impacts some folks in a positive way.
Yay. Thanks, guys. This is fun.
Hey. And gang, always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He's a G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time.